Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
How do you always manage to wind me up before we start doing these things?
I honestly don't know where to
go. But like being on your phone and not really being present and then suddenly going, right, can we start? Whereas I like to warm up.
You like to warm up doing
just,
what?
I don't know.
Been for a row. Ben's been here for 25 minutes.
You can't introduce the rowing unless we talk about the rowing.
You were pacing around, taking vitamins, like gazing out into the garden, like making everyone wait for you.
What a lovely scene you set. You're like Henry Blofeld.
Cricket commentator.
He was a fellow, he was a cricket commentator, but he'd always tell you about the sort of pigeons and the broad in, blonde hair riffling in the breeze. Oh, what a delightful cake. There goes a pigeon. And everyone would go, that's a bit pointless. But actually, that was the whole point of cricket. And now he's gone, really. You might as well wind up the cricket.
Did he die recently?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
He's just retired.
Yeah, he's just 83 and he's retired with his wine. He has a red and a white wine that he makes.
Really?
He sent us a bottle once.
Did he?
Yeah.
Was it nice?
Well,
probably.
He went down.
Cares?
Didn't touch the side. Do you want to start? No, well, we've got some things that we talked about that we might talk about. You got anything great to hit me with?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay.
I haven't got anything great. I have got some ideas, but they're none of them are like amazing.
Did you see that? Yes, here we go. Did you see that more wants to be teachers after months of disruption and homeschooling?
Yes.
Parents have a greater respect for the work of teachers and stronger bonds with their children's school after the pandemic. Blah, blah, blah. It comes as figures show the number of people wanting to become teachers has rocketed since the pandemic started.
Okay.
Right, has it made you want to be a teacher?
No, it's done precisely the opposite.
It's made you really glad there are schools?
I am from a long line of teachers. Like, my dad was a teacher for...
Was he?
Well, he was a lecturer at university for many, many years. And my aunts on, like, both sides of my family are teachers. My sister is a teacher. I'm very good at like telling
people
what
to
do.
It's just when you say a long line of teachers, I imagine these people in mortarboard stretching back to Henry VIII. It's not.
Well, no, my grandfather was an insurance salesman and my other grandfather was a farmer. So like when I say a long line of teachers, I mean, there's the kind of like a buzz of teaching around me.
I come from a long line of people who think that teachers know fuck all and they do what they want. I think interesting column. Is like, has it made, first of all, I will tell you what I think the column should be, but I mean, that's like I'm going to reveal my exciting idea, which is bollocks, but I think it's really interesting.
Reveal your exciting idea?
Well, no, it's not, but I think it's really interesting that this pandemic experience, Jeff Barton, General, is this going to be blah, blah, blah? Jeff Barton, General Secretary of the Association of School and College Leaders, said, although the past year had been pretty awful for parents trying to support their children at home, the one positive note is that it has given people a greater appreciation of the fantastic work the schools and teachers do in normal times and how hard it is to replicate. And I thought, like, right, if we'd open a school, the Corran timetable, what would it be like?
Terrible.
Well, who knows?
But it would be both of us saying, can you go away? I'm trying to do some work.
No, the timetable, done at 8 o'clock. I don't know. But, you know, it would be... We did the first lockdown. We really did teach our kids.
You did, I didn't. I cried. I tried to teach them about volcanoes, got it all wrong, and just sort of burst into tears and ran out into the garden.
And then this time, we've sort of overseen their...
This time, I was you know, I was basically teaching assistant, which was fine. I did the printouts. I said, do you want some lunch? I said, does that make sense? Yes, have you got the PDF yet? Well, there. I wasn't actually doing any teaching because I think teaching your own children in that regard is like wrong, and it's why they don't like it. I think teaching your children by example, look, this is how we are human beings. Human beings sit at tables. We eat with a knife and fork.
But they haven't done that. They still don't do that.
No, but they can if, like, pressed to.
I feel that when we had sort of poetry school and Lady Bird history school and stuff, the kids enjoyed it. I mean, broadly, I was sort of...
That's because you're a good teacher.
I don't know if they learnt anything. I mean, last night I was quite surprised. We were doing some homework with Kitty and she really can't hold a pen.
She can. She's just left-handed.
Well, so am I. But she holds it like... She holds it literally like that. She holds it like a...
No, she doesn't hold it like that. She holds it... Okay,
it's great radio. But I mean, she puts the pen between her third and fourth finger.
Does she?
Clasps it all around, closes it up, and puts her thumb over the top and holds it so so tight it's like she's trying to strangle a ferret.
Right.
And then she pushes really deeply.
She does push hard, and
there's the difference between us. You'll look at that and you'll immediately think, I'll write a letter to the exam board when the time comes along and ask them to let her do it on a laptop, which seems to me a bit defeatist because I think maybe she should... We could teach her to write.
I was literally just like shooting the breeze with that, but it does make me think that maybe she should go to the Senko person and have some handwriting. Set special educational needs coordinator Senko.
Senko.
Yeah.
Sounds like something out of Line of Duty.
It's not Tenko.
With which we'll come to later.
Yes. I feel like the Corrin School for Naughty Boys and Girls timetable has been rinsed, basically.
By whom?
By you. Like you did a thing about teaching the kids. You did a column about teaching.
Did
kids.
I?
Yeah.
When?
Well, like when it first occurred
How
to you.
I don't read that shit. How would I know?
Dogs.
Yes.
There's quite a lot of dog stuff in the paper this week, starting with it was a trend piece in the Times written by Helen Rumbelow, who's my dear friend, in T2, about the very pervasive trend on TikTok of teaching your dog how to speak. On TikTok, there's a woman, a speech pathologist called Christina Hunger, and she works with children who have speech difficulties talking, and they have pre-programmed buttons that the child can press that says, you know, Alice wants food, or Alice outside, or Alice friend, or whatever.
For
and
kids
she
who
thought,
are reluctant to speak to
or can't for whatever okay, reason fine. Or can't mechanically or emotionally, whatever. So she decided to apply this to her dog, and Christina has a dog called Stella who uses a range of pre-programmed plastic buttons to communicate with her owner. I mean, we could have a soundboard each, so we could just hit buttons rather than talking to each other.
So how many of the buttons
but
have they got?
But that would all just be fuck off as well.
How many buttons have they got?
Well, as many as you feel you're confident you can train your dog to use. They've tried this with apes. They've tried it with chimpanzees. But they only got so far and then sort of stopped. I mean, I think broadly because, you know, even chimpanzees, which are quite closely related to humans, they only have a limited range of thoughts and ideas, but they've never tried it with dogs. And this woman, Christina Hunger, she was the first person who tried using a soundboard, which they have used successfully with chimpanzees, on a dog, and she thinks it works. I mean, the thing about training dogs is that you don't just train a dog once, like downloading software onto your computer and then it runs and it's fine. You have to keep training the dog. You can't like send it away to be trained and then it comes back.
Well, they all train them. They train them to sit and roll over. You train a dog not to bite joggers, snap kids in the face, kill toddlers. You treat the dog not to the fucking seals. And this, the fact that it's a 49-year-old, that's sort of my age, but, you know, the fact that it's a barrister and she's got this, I mean, I feel sorry for her a bit, but it went for this lovely seal and it was completely out of control and she couldn't pull it off. And that's an indication there are too many dogs. If people are watching TikTok videos of dogs learning to talk, dogs can't talk. Dogs can't talk. Don't try and teach your dog to talk. Teach it not to bite children's faces off. Like when we went to the park the other day, and the first time I'd sort of eaten a meal out, really, for months and months, which was the like takeaway tagine from the Lido and then sit in the park. And then this dog came bounding over to eat. Admittedly, the guy pulled it off.
Yeah, but the thing is that, but look, he was a very confident dog owner. His dog was off the lead. The dog was very well trained. He called to the dog. It came back. He picked up the dog's poo. That's fine. I'm cool with people with all of that. But, you know, I'm sure this barrister...
You think people are confused by that seagull?
Or the Kentish Town seagulls that drove Kingsley Amis mad when he lived in Evangelist Road.
You can, I mean, those are going to be on the sound, aren't they? I don't want people to think we've illegally gone to Brighton.
We're not in Brighton. We're in Kentish Town, where there are, as there's a colony of seagulls from Camden Lock, basically.
I'm just looking at the date. It's March. As we record, we go out. By March 29th, it would have been legal to go to Brighton, but it still isn't.
We're not in Brighton.
No, but
why would we be in Brighton? I don't want to go to Brighton. No. I'm sure Brighton's lovely if you live there. I don't want to visit. So this barrister, I'm sure her border terrier, whatever dog it was, is quite well trained. I'm sure it's not like some out of control dog, which is why it was off the lead. If your dog's got to be reasonably well trained to be off the lead anywhere. So I'm sure she thought it wasn't off the lead, and then it went nuts and killed this poor seal. It could have been a baby.
It's and then the story that you mentioned that 7% of dogs now are obese. They're basically turning into people. They're fat. They're trying to talk, and they're killing everything that moves.
That's a great column. Stop trying to turn dogs into people. Dogs are not your friend.
Yeah.
Dogs are, you know, dogs have been, because people can't really deal with each other anymore, because other people are kind of complicated and have interior lives, and they're not like we deal with Apple products, which are designed to be like totally convenient and not expect you to do anything, even switch them off. And then we can't deal with other people because they're complicated and blah, whatever. We've been in lockdown for a year. We've decided that getting a dog is a good idea for company and well-being or whatever. But we're trying to turn them into people by not training them, not putting leads on them, and trying to make them talk.
Exactly. What are the other things you'd want to teach your dog in the absence of people? Because the point that people are going to come back, people used to buy dogs who needed dogs. So there were all sorts of things, and dogs are wonderful. And you need dogs for rounding up your sheep or picking up your game or guarding your home. Or all these things that dogs were bred for, to do these very, very quite specific tasks. The water dog, the retrieval dog,
terriers,
the rescue dog, terriers,
rodent killers.
All those things they were bred for. Now there's always, and I always want to bat, I think you should ban all dogs from cities, but then there's the loneliness, the companion thing, which is, to me, that is just a demonstration that society has failed.
Right.
Cogs grind. Oh, total social fail. People are so lonely they have to get a dog. Fucking hell. Now, they're not going to need dogs now because of Zoom, so even the loneliness thing kind of goes. If they bought them as a replacement for people, tried to turn them into people, then in a few days you're going to be able to see people again.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with your dog? We're going to have this race of speaking fat four-legged things that we don't need anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's a good column.
Dogs are meant to be working animals. And this is their turning to... The dogs need to be rebred. We're not at the end of the dog history. We may be at the beginning. Rebred to do things that are really useful. For example, like operate tech.
Yeah.
So you need to breed dogs that can unlock your smartphone, find Netflix on the TV remote control.
Delivery drivers. They could get them a little harness and a little thing, like rattly thing. They could roo, roo, they say outside. Roo, roo. And then you open your door. Roo, and then you take your box out of the thing and off they go. You give them a Bonio as a thank you, as a tip, pat them on the head.
You summon it, and you'd have all these dark kitchens. But you know how when you have, you know, like we love the Singapore Garden, for example, and there's often like 14 delivery drivers with their helmets all queuing outside for the food and chatting. There'll be like 15 dogs outside, 15 Rhodesian Ridgebacks waiting to take away.
The problem is stopping them from eating the kuei pai tea between Fairfax Road and here.
Yeah. And the dogs could also then be, what are the other lockdown jobs that people have done? And they could be...
Well, because the thing is that the...
Teachers.
The job,
the dogs could be teachers.
Exactly. A. Roo. B. Roo.
Yeah.
C.
Roo.
Or they could use their little buttons. But also, there's a point to be made there with the jobs that working dogs were bred to do no longer exist. Blood sports they shouldn't be game shooting anyway. That's just horrid. They shouldn't be trained to pick up whatever. So they need to be, and it would be quite funny to be like, what dog should do what modern job?
But that's, well, I don't know about dogs, but yes. Dalmatians, you claim, are stupid. They should be footballers. And what other characteristics do dogs have?
Poodles are great swimmers.
What?
What? What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Poodles
are
water.
Yeah,
why do you think their hair's like that? So that dries quickly. Why are you laughing
like
at
that?
Me?
Because my mum's hair used to go like that when her perm washed out in the swimming pool in the 70s. You mean you're saying poodles all have curly hair because their hair's all wet?
No, they've got curly hair. They're good. They're good in the water because the water just
straight. This is like your bird information and your
it's not
rubbish tree information.
Just look up poodles. No. Poodles are water
last
game
week
dogs.
I looked up something
oh my
on
god,
the internet.
Poodles are water game dogs, right? So when you shoot a duck, and it drops into a lake.
Is it the noise of the gun? What have you shot it with? A catapult.
I shot it with the thing I got on the front of a Beano.
Shot it with a Nerf gun. Shot it with a kazoo is what it sounds like you've done there. There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer, rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just segueing out of the dogs and briefly into the Tom and Jerry movie.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Notice was on. So am I. And the matey in the Daily Mail thinks it's all right.
3 out of 5, which for a cartoon is, like, that's quite good.
Well, Daily Mail readers, broadly cartoons, is about the upper level. Oh, Doris, look. Yeah. Okay,
they certainly don't understand Line of Duty. There's a DPS on there. Like,
don't go to Line of Duty. That's a whole separate thing. Although, okay. I don't want to tell you what to do and create another shitstorm.
But why can't we just have Line of Duty now?
Oh, wait a minute.
Now?
We can. Yeah. We can. Check this mashup. Okay, the Tom and Jerry movie, really looking forward to it. Line of Duty, but Tom and Jerry movie, really looking forward to it, but it's all a bit just sort of cat and mouse, chasey, how do you stretch that out? Line of Duty, watched it last night, little bit complicated what the fuck's going on, but smash the two.
Yeah.
Line of Tom and Jerry.
Yes.
That's what I have.
But you don't really know enough about Line of Duty to make...
I know a lot about Tom and Jerry. You do. Nobody knows anything about Line of Duty. Jed Mufucking-Curio doesn't know anything about... But he throws all these names and phrases into a soup and he lifts them out. This is a job for FPWQR3. And they go, yeah, absolute mom, son, mum, gaffer, cooking with diesel, pumping with gas, inhaling fumes. And now they've thrown... Because it wasn't enough to have... He's Irish, isn't he, matey? We're cooking
Ted.
With gas, no.
Ted.
Yeah. Ted, where's he from, Ted?
Ted the Gaffer.
Ted the Gaffer.
He's from Northern Ireland somewhere.
Itch has come in. It's H-P-L-M-N-O-Q. Are you going somewhere?
No, I'm just adjusting.
But they've now put a Scottish person in. Oh, I don't know what's going on here.
Kelly MacDonald, yeah.
Cooking with gas. They're just so they've made it easier for impressionists to do Line of Duty. Kelly MacDonald's come in. So last night, I was all set up with my like roster of what they all mean. They're from, I call them AP12, but they're not.
AC12.
AC12, there you go. And it means?
Anti-corruption unit 12.
Why 12?
Because the 11 others are not very good. Or they had to do
AC12 is shit. There's 9 series and they don't know who H is. So then they watched it, and then what was that? There was a thing. So I was all together, and now the problem was that nobody would reveal the identity of the chinge. What was it?
The chiz. Which sounded so much show, like jizz.
They kept talking about where's the jizz? Tell me, chuck up the jizz. Well, who's got the jizz? Whose is the jizz?
And
well,
then later on, there was actual jizz.
There was that poor guy.
Yeah, the poor guy.
The poor learning needs guy.
Yeah.
And they were saying, we found your spooge all over these photos of a journalist.
I did think it was slightly unnecessary. I hope he kind of like, I hope that guy comes out on top. Terry Boyle, he's called. Terry Boyle was the character's name, not the actor's name. Don't know what the actor's called. He really like, I felt it. It felt quite exploitative.
It did feel exploitative. And it was nice that this guy had got a acting job, and I think he will turn out to be innocent.
Yeah.
And they were being really sensitive because you've got to be sensitive. And then I'm looking at this guy, and he was he was a good actor, and I was like better than most of the actors in Line of Duty. I was faintly invested in his.
Yeah.
You know, he's clearly I assume it's strange because he's being made the stooge. We assume he's been made the stooge of. Remember that? Well, who's the other guy? The Barry something.
Clark. Something.
The picture of they were on their way there, but then the new mom saw a armed burglar. She saw a double parked white van and made them all stop to go and investigate. Some public schoolboys came over and, oh yeah, we're just robbing this. Pow, shot one of them. Someone did really shit CPR. Meanwhile, the guy who was the Down syndrome guy's mate was like escaped, and they've pinned it all on Terry.
Yeah.
And the thing is that...
Because we know Kelly McDonald's a wrong one, right? The new mom.
Right from the start.
Yeah.
Because she's Scottish.
No, because she was a baddie.
She's got all her special hair.
But she's got something to do with Terry, right? Because when he was taken to a safe house, when he was released without charge, her lingering look out of the window at him.
Also, when those four sort of twerp boys who'd robbed the bookies, one of them just got shot, pow, by the thing.
Yeah.
Jumped in the air, did a proper kind of Bruce Lee, but splat. Yeah. She looked a bit...
I think the fact that she said fuck.
Yes, because I think she got like possibly her son and his mates to hold up a thing so she could pretend to see it. And then what's his name? He's grown the beard. Splodgett. What's he called? The young guy?
Steve Arnott.
He's always
had a beard.
Has he?
Splodgett.
he's such a dude. Half man, half desk. He doesn't really know what to do. He's like, oh, he's going to get up and go. But the thing is that also this unit that Vicky McClure, she's gone to us, but... She's gone to work in this unit, and they're going to all be going, look, it's Vicky McClure. She's like, obviously, there's going to be more...
Well, she did explain that. She did explain that. She did
She's fed up with nicking coppers.
She's fed up. She's bored with nicking coppers, and she's had to work really hard to get the trust of the unit that she's in, which is the Hill, murder-suicide.
But did we find out that she was really worried about the chiz? And what was a chiz? Why have they got it?
The chiz is the covert human information person.
But they said it might not be a chiz, it may be an ACO.
No, not an ACO. No, she was worried about either being a chiz or being a UCO, an undercover copper operator.
Something operative.
Yeah, exactly.
So what I'm saying is that what about Tom and Jerry? So Tom is like, Jerry is actually AC-12 and...
But who's chasing who? It kind of switches around.
Well, you know, there's somewhere between the plot of a Tom and Jerry 5-minute thing and the plot of Line of Duty.
Look, I love it. I think you're making quite a lot of work for yourself there.
H turns out to be the canary or whatever, or right. Spike the dog.
Listen, plotting a short story is bad enough. If you've got to mash up Line of Duty and Tom and Jerry, I wonder how much you're going to feel like doing that tomorrow morning. Let's get real. Do we want to do Harry's first day at work?
Yeah,
better up?
Prince Harry's got a job. What is his job?
His job... Oh, I'm actually going to look up his actual title.
What's my job?
He is Chief Impact Officer, CIO. That's like a Line of Duty acronym, isn't it? CIO. I know what a CFO is, and I know what a CEO is. I don't know what a CIO is. So he's got a job as CIO. They've declined to reveal what his salary is. Is going to be, or even if he has a salary, but let's face it, he probably does have a salary.
Cut off by his father without financial thing. He's arrived. Oh, hi, you're Harry.
Yeah.
First thing, you're late.
Right.
I mean, what's it going to be like? Well, Harry's first day at work. Hi.
Yeah.
You're late.
I brought my own mug. Where are the scissors? Is there a ribbon?
Is there? Or it's a. Where's my desk? You're
asking everyone he meets if they've come far.
They ask where his desk is, but we don't have desks because...
Well, no, they don't, because he is... So BetterUp is one of these I'm sure it's a perfectly all right place, but I've listened to too many American startup podcasts, right? Like about like WeWork and places with a really weird internal culture. A bit like, did you ever read The Circle by Dave Eggers, which is a piss take of Google? You know, you read a book like that, you listen to a podcast about WeWork, it's the same mad obsession with community. It's the mad kind of like ripped off from a kibbutz-ish kind of sharing socialist, you know, making the world a better place.
What does this startup do? It's just like, he said some stupid thing about,
it's a life coaching,
I just want to invigorate mental health opportunities for...
It's just, I mean, it's just a stupid kind of Silicon Valley startup talking BS, and it's all about like corporate togetherness yoga lessons and everyone dressing up in stupid costumes on Halloween or whatever. It's just, what made me immediately think, because you know, on the same day we've got this statement from Harry and Meghan saying that they didn't actually get married in their backyard with the Archbishop of Canterbury. It was actually, they said they called him up, they rang him up and said, can you come over because we want to, exchange some vows in our back garden. And Justin went, put down the phone, got his dress on, got his...
Who's that, darling? Oh, it's the fucking Sussexes again.
And she's had to say that actually it wasn't a legal ceremony, because as Ben, our producer, has pointed out, who's about to get married, he knows all about using gardens as wedding venues, not okay. You need the witnesses.
If it was a Jewish wedding, if she'd been for rent, because they can get married under a chuppah anywhere.
That he's not.
How do we know they sell so many lies? Maybe it was a Jewish wedding. They should. That's why. What's her name? Oprah Winfrey was any kind of had any. If she was as forensic as DC Arnott, she would not have stood by. That's, you see, you could do an episode of. You could do Line of Duty, Harry and Meghan.
They're interrogating Harry.
That'd be quite... Harry and Meghan sitting there. So wait a minute.
That's a fun mashup. Their bullshit California speak. Their bullshit versus Line of Duty. Bullshit acronym speak. That's funny.
I just want to do good things for people.
Look, listen. Shut up. I think AC12 interrogating Harry and Meghan over their bullshit.
I just did a collection of the AC12 cliches and then...
Combined with their stupid California speak would be really funny.
Okay.
That's a great idea.
Cool.
Line of Duty.
It's all about what duty is. Duty. Wasn't that the... We all like... What's the thing they said?
Well, their thing was about service, actually. Actually, it is quite like the police force, isn't it? It's all about duty, service.
Maybe Meghan is AC12. Maybe... Prince Philip is H. And before there's the race to prove that he said the racist thing.
Surely Harry's H.
Well, because it stands
Harry.
Harry
really is H, isn't he?
He's H.
Has... No, but Harry's age. Look, I think this is... Look, if you can be bothered to write this tomorrow...
Harry's only got Meghan in because he hates his fact... Because he wants to run... He wants to be king! You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran...
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on The Times radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts. To find out what I wrote about in the end, you can pick up a copy of The Times or get a digital subscription. And for the full live experience, tune into my show on Times Radio every Friday from 1 till 4. Do you think you can edit this into any semblance of a podcast?
Ed, Ben can do anything. He'll just put in some music. Like making the picture bigger on a crap column.
I'm two lines short. Cuts of red just, box and stories of our times.
Yeah,
cut
exactly.
In.
Just a randomly Sue Perkins just cut in.
Went slightly wrong with that one.
Yeah, you went slightly wrong with that one. You're malfunctioning.
Past Imperfect with Rachel Sylvester and Alice Thompson, a weekly series of in-depth interviews with high-profile figures examining how overcoming the challenges of their early lives shaped the people they've become. This week, businessman and chair of the Cultural Recovery Fund, Sir Damon Buffini, describes his journey from a Leicester council estate to being named the most powerful black man in Britain.
A group of my peers who I thought I knew just decided that they'd make my life misery, and they excluded me from sports societies, cocktail parties, or everything. Couldn't really find out why they were doing it. I think one of my friends said, you know, the reason why they're doing it is because they don't think you're a real gentleman.
Past Imperfect with Rachel Sylvester and Alice Thompson. Sir Damon Buffini, in his own words. Now available as a podcast. Listen on the Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.